Okay, everybody, let's give a quick introduction. It's so appropriate to, for Core Values to give Cheshbon and Nefesh. That's why we dedicated two sessions to it. Because one, anybody who knew Rav Nof knew that he used to push people about making Cheshbon and Nefesh all the time, maybe more than almost anybody I remember that I met that was so focused on that all the time. And Rav Nof's whole existence really was about Cheshbon and Nefesh, what he's living for, etc. On a deep level, that's what it's all about. Besides that, and of course all the core values are really dependent on that. Anything you want to grow in is dependent on how much you cheshbon and evaluate yourself. And besides that, of course, is tis the season. Yeah? This presentation, which I was over to make last week, I know it got into my head exactly to make a PowerPoint. I don't usually do them. Or I think it's the first one I ever made, actually. But I want to tell you that there are two levels to what's going on here, what you're about to have for the next 35 minutes or so. One is my particular chidushim, right? So, and I'll try to point them out. You take them, I wouldn't say necessarily with a grain of salt, but different, but then a lot of it just organization of basic material. Okay? It's important for you guys to be able to differentiate between those two things. And I'll point that out as we go. Okay, so what is cheshbon and nefesh, after all? So, the definition is pretty clear here. An honest self-appraisal based on predetermined principles for the purpose of self-improvement, right? Honest, which of these words is, honest is obvious, self-appraisal is obvious if you know what appraisal is, based on predetermined principles. That's the chiddush a little bit. What do you mean based on predetermined principles? I just sit down to figure it out. That is going to become clear for the purpose of self-improvement, right? We're not cheshboning ourselves to philosophize about how wonderful we are or how bad we are, certainly. It's for self-improvement, which I use the basic definition from the Mesillas Sharm, which is strengthening the good and eradicating the bad in a very clear way. Okay, again, but again, I think everybody agrees that the Chiddush words here are based on predetermined principles of for the purpose. What's predetermined principles? We'll see. Let's go on, Amshich. Why? Why should we do Cheshbon and Nefesh, Rabbi Osai?
Sure.
Some of those fancy words. I think they're all great words. I'm going to explain each one. Empowering. It's very empowering. When we hear the word empowering, a lot of times like that's a big word today. Empowering. You have to empower people. So the world likes that word a lot because it's like a guy with a good word, you know? I'm empowered, I'm able, I can conquer the world, etc. So there's sometimes a little bit of a guy in it, and non-stopping, I'm a weightlifter, I'm empowered. But the truth is, when you think about it, there's nothing less empowering to a person, really, than to feel that they're, like the language is in certain places, kekelev achozer al keo. So like a dog that goes back over his keo. How to describe that? That's it, even though it's a very vomit. Right, and you think about it, you feel, I just saw this quote in a sermon book, it was such a tremendous quote, that working hard doesn't really knock people out. You know, what knocks people out is feeling that they're lacking and not growing and not developing and doing the same mistakes again and again. Does that resonate? Mm-hmm. That's not empowering. When a person does cheshbon nefesh and looks at himself honestly against principles, and says, where am I up to par and where am I not up to par, that's extremely empowering. I'm a person who can change. I'm a person who can move. I'm not stuck in yesterday's patterns. I don't know if there's anything more empowering than that. You just have to get used to what empowering means. Empowering doesn't just mean that I can, you know, I'm a big speaker and psych people up. A lot of people who are big speakers psych people up are very weak individuals inside. I mean, think of all the stars. You think the movie stars are empowered people? They're very limited people, you know, on wife number 7 or 8. That's not empowering. Okay, finally, it's enriching. That's obvious. Every small step we make in our life is enriching. Every small tikkun we make in ourselves is very enriching. It's integrity building. This is also an incredible word. It's integrity building. So what level of integrity? Self-integrity. Integrity starts with ourselves, right? Our self-integrity, our ability to keep promises to ourselves, to keep commitments, to follow through what we do, to evaluate ourselves, to follow ourselves. Do we hear that? So we all have to start our integrity with ourselves. And cheshbon and nefesh, which is keeping track of ourselves, is incredibly integrity building. It's intelligent. I like each of these words, the gishmak words. Okay, I suppose I should have written gishmak. It's intelligent because every field in the world, people evaluate themselves. It sometimes shames the chinuch field, how much evaluation goes on in business. You know, they're all evaluating and spending millions of dollars. It bothers me a little bit. Like, I feel like Kirov and Chinuch, just a side peeve, also part of the problem, but it's that we don't, there's much less evaluation. It's not intelligent, right? Any intelligent body evaluates itself. Anything important is evaluated, right? Are we going to renew his contract, not renew his contract, trade him, etc.? So it's an intelligent thing to evaluate. That's obvious. But you know what I mean by the word intelligent? Not brilliant, not just intelligent. Smart, something smart people would do. And finally, it's an amazing investment, which really works together with that. It's a good investment of time. If I spend 10 minutes a day, and really I think 10 minutes a day is plenty. You know, it could be a realistic amount or whatever. It's half an hour a week or 2 hours a month, whatever. But it's an amazing investment as opposed to going back over all the mistakes that a person goes and makes. If I can just stop and correct those mistakes and build on the good that I'm doing, that's a good investment. So each of these words is really a gem. It's empowering, enriching, integrity building, intelligent, and of course an amazing investment. Okay? Now, you could just stop at the end of the day and think, what did I do well today? What did I not do well today? Right? That's a person could do, and that's maybe how a lot of us imagine what our Tashbih Nefesh would be. So I could have just said that, but then I wouldn't have a presentation. And then class will be over. But for both sides, this no doubt has value, but we could do better. You understand? There is definitely value, a lot of times people come up with more machudish approaches. You know, everybody tries to show how the last thing was so terrible and bad, and now we have, you know, we discovered America. I'm not into that, discovering America, you know? For a person to spend 10 minutes and just think about himself is awesome, amazing, you know? I remember last year, I was all excited because I was going to speak before Tekiah Shofar. That's like a big thing. So I called my Rebbe, obviously not telling him that I was speaking, I didn't call him to tell him I was speaking before Tekiah Shofar. You know, Caesar Rashi and Karen Biavnus, he was telling me, well, that he's going to speak here, speak there, this. So I'm not speaking before Tekiah. Tekiah is a time to sit with yourself and not talk to anybody. You know, so I felt about over here after that, you know. But so it's a great thing just to sit with yourself and to evaluate and whatever comes up. That's awesome. Okay? I'm not putting that down. If you don't go for the rest of the presentation and the rest of the points, that's good. But like I said, I believe that we can do better, as we try to explain a little bit. Okay? It starts with principles and a framework, right? We'll also think about, what does cheshbon mean? Cheshbon means an evaluation. Well, evaluation means against something. That's what are you evaluating against, right? If my goal is to, you know, be the best, how do you say, Candy Crush player, right? So then I'm going to evaluate myself against other Candy Crush players. But I can't just, it's not like this objective thing. So we need some level of evaluation on the basis of something. That's the basic definition of what an evaluation is. You got it? Now, so step one is to figure out what your principles are. What are your principles? What are you about? And you have to build a framework for them, meaning some graspable formula which allows you to work with them. We'll explain this more if it's not clear yet. But I need something that I have. Now, what's this? This can take a while, right? Okay. It's not a simple thing, right? What are my principles are? What are you about? So just give a few possibilities. This is just to open up. Principles you cut down to size. Right, now this is a very important line, Rabosa. I don't mean to take away from this, and anybody who's up for this, do it. On one level, every mitzvah and all of its dikdukim are all principles, right? What's my job? My job is to keep tired mitzvahs. That's my job, very simple. On one level, with all of its dikdukim. I didn't say all of its chumras, right? With all of its dikdukim. I want to keep tzitzis the best way. I want to do bikur cholim the best way. I want to daven the best way. I want to learn the best way. I want to keep emunah the best way. I want to have avas Hashem the best way. Right? I want to have Yiras Shemayim the best way. All 613 mitzvahs with all of its tamim from what? Tamim Sefer Chinuch, right? Sefer Chinuch. I want to know it all. But this might be too much for us to work with. Now that's really, Rabosei, that is how I chose these words carefully, because that's really how the Mesillas Sharm talks about in Zahiris, where he really lays down a lot of the foundations for everything we're talking about. That's what he talks about, right? My job in life is to keep all of the mitzvahs their right way with all their dikdukim. So therefore, theoretically, that could be a person's framework. What's my framework? Tayag mitzvahs. Right? I asked a friend of mine one time, you know, what's he working on before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? He said, you know, just keep the mitzvahs. You know, if you just keep Shulchan Aruch, you're pretty good. And Shulchan Aruch includes Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Mitzvahs, Tamidias, etc. Right? But that's all. It's all Shulchan Aruch. But it's Damas. It's not what we think about Milas and Ruchnias. It's very just the mitzvahs. Okay? But like I said, it might be too much to work with. And we have a Raya in the Gemara Makos, in fact, talks about. We remember that Gemara. What's that about? Ba David v'midamal. I think Achadasrei. Ba Michal v'midamal Shalosh. What was Michal's three guys? Huh? Asod Mishpat. Abbas Chesed. V'tznei l'chesim Hashem l'kecha. Ba Chabakuk v'midamal Achas. Tzadik Umanasiyachya. Right? What's the idea that Gemara I heard from Revolba, the way I understood what he was saying a few times, was that even back then they understood that just to go straight in 613 mitzvahs is maybe too much. So God forbid, of course, Habakkuk wasn't saying you can only have to be involved in Emunah and nothing else. He saw Emunah as a pathway by which you could get to all the other mitzvahs. Right? You understand? So in a similar way, so therefore we need frameworks. On our low level, we need frameworks. Okay?
Next.
Now, here's some examples of frameworks of both sides. These are just examples to open up. Right? It could be a personal mission statement. Right? That's a famous thing in business and things like that. A person thinks about, what's my mission statement? What mission? We're all on a mission. Sfas Emes talks a lot about the shlichus. Each person on a shlichus. What's your mission in life? Right? And this only takes a long time to figure out. What is my personal mission statement? You know, 4, 5, 6 lines that a person could think about and when you know, wordsmith with and really try to get exact. And you have a something which you judge yourself against. Right? Here's my job. That could be my job in yeshiva. My job in yeshiva is XYZ. Right? This is who I am, and this is what I want to accomplish, and here I am, etc. So that's my personal mission statement. And now every day, at the end of the day, when I look at that, I say, hey, how'd I do against that? Parts of your day. Right? Could be a person that's a simple way to, how'd I do with chakras, getting up for chakras, how'd I do first Seder, how'd I do second Seder, etc. That's another framework for how to think about it, our days. Three amudim, we both say. What's a three amudim? Torah v'adik mil chasadim, right? Certain chasidius put that on their banner. What are we into in Boston? We're at the Torah Vodun Kamil Chasadim. So how do I do on those three things today? Or we could do the three Banes. What's the three Banes for both sides? Bane. What? Bane and E. What? Bane Om Lamakim and Om Chaber, Bane Om La'atzmo. Right, as the Maral talks about in the Haktam Matavis. Those are three. How did I do my Bane Om Lachaber today? How did I do my Bane Om Lamakim today? How did I do my Bane Om La'atzmo? Me, this is Bane Om La'atzmo. Right? Nezikin. The Maral says, if you want to be a chassid, so you work on Nezikin, or Brachos, or Avos. That's a Gemara in Baba Kama. So the Maral phenomenally says, because each one is against one of the things. Right? Bein on Nezikin is Bein Lechavero, Brachos is Bein Lemalkin, and Avos is Bein Lemalatzmo. Okay, so that's a possible framework. Five Beins. Who remembers the five Beins? Well, as I mentioned this in a Chiddush in the summer. I found this in a parish called Ms. Gerrit Hazahav about, I don't know how many years ago, about it. 9 years ago, and I forgot, I listened to tape of myself, that's how I remembered. It was a joke during the schmooze, if you remember. So I listened to tape of myself. Anybody remember that? Okay, good. So he adds two other things, which I thought were very relevant, and it could be maybe this is the way people should think. The other two that he added, I won't go through the whole Mishnah, but there were five things listed in the Mishnah. And he, the Misgered Azav, I'm not sure even who that is, but he said one was against Ben Ochaver, one was against Ben Olamakam, one was against Ben Adam La'atzmo, and the other two was one was against Torah, and one was against Klal Yisrael. That's another way to think about it, right? How did I do today in those three veins? Benam Lechaver and Klai Yisrael, two different cheshbonos. I hope in Eshtar we could appreciate that. I could be a good person, but I'm a nice guy to all the individuals I see, but I'm not necessarily thinking about, davening about, caring about, wanting to work on helping a klal, right? There are people who are great klal workers and there are people who are great Benam Lechaver workers, right? That was some gedolim had the ability to do both. You had people who only focused on the big picture. Some people helped a lot of people, had a lot of tzaras. It's a different way of looking at it. That's another framework. Of course, a person's specific avoda areas, right? What are you working on as a person? A person sits down with himself and he decides, here are my five, here are my two, here are my three. These are the areas that I'm working on, that I'm focusing on, that's my thing. Finally, of course, another one is machshava divur ma'aser. Both of these are just, these are six frameworks that I came up with, 6, 7 really, Sheshanam Sheva, but it's really 7, right, because 3 veins are 5 veins, but you can have other ones, it's not, you know, Nefesh Ruach Neshama, Chai Yechida, how's your Yechida today, how you Chaya today, right? Right, no, that's not for us, we're both saying, don't do that, right, you know, and Derech Hashem talks about other Chalki Neshama, how did my Chalki Neshama do today? Don't worry about your Chalki Neshama, both say, go to sleep, don't tell any of their Seyamapa, your Chalki Neshama will take care of yourself, get enough sleep, it'll be fine, right? But we're talking about practical things, right? These are all practical frameworks. Now, let's see further from that.
Next.
Oh no, I've done the impossible. Try making simanim for both sides. It might be a good idea. It might be a good idea to make simanim for both sides. The very first article I wrote on Avodah Tzadikim and Ardiyas Vadim, Baruch Hashem, is on Simonim, a systematic approach to holding on to your spiritual accomplishments, which I think, you know, I definitely still do it. I know other people still do it, and it's a very helpful way to break things down. You know, what's your focus in tefillah? Right? So person, etc. So it might be helpful to take the principles you have in a further modified way to make Simonim. Simonim Aseh Yoknei Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Dalet says, Samach Ayin Simonim Aseh. There's a tremendous chachma to the Aleph Beis. By the way, I have another two shiurim on Ardei Svad over there. I'm not pushing Ardei Svad, I'm joking. I'm really not, but there I gave shiurim on the Aleph Beis one time. But Lamai says, unbelievable chachma in the Aleph Beis, the Seder of the Aleph, Beis, Gimel Dalet, etc. So Samach Ayin, Simonim Aseh, Pnei Torah. There's not so much as we spoke about today at lunch. You have to make Simonim in all learning, right? And anybody who has Simonim can remember things. So it's when you're a Avodas Hashem, the things you're working on, it's the only, you can do a quick cheshbon of yourself if you know, here's my thing, right? If it's, you know, depending on how big your frameworks are. Okay. Okay, step two, we're both saying, seems obvious, yet it is critical, which is, there you see, find the right time. Now this is, I love things like this, we're both saying, because they're really simple, but a lot of times you don't miss it. If you miss a step like that, you say, I'll do it after Mincha. Great. After Mincha, I'm tired, you're full, you're upset, in fact, that someone else took your schlitz alone. And I don't know, this could be a lot of things. It could be a very bad time to do it after Mincha, right? Oh, before bed, going to bed. That's a good time to do it. Maybe it's a very bad time to do it because you're so tired, right? We'll say, this is just a practical point. Avodas Hashem has to be practical. Like I try to teach people, when we work, you remember? When we work with what works. If you heard nothing else today, hear that. When we work with what works. So I know this seems simple, but it's not, because every person's different. That's why these things, I'm only giving you a framework, right? I do a lot of this stuff, because it's such a personal thing to know how to do it. So you have to really think, like, what's a good time for you? Maybe every day is just too much for you, and it'll make a mess for you if you do it every day. Or, you know, I found in myself sometimes that really maybe it's better for me to try every day, because then at least do it some of the time. Right? You have to know. You have to know yourself. You have to try different things. It could be weekly is better. Motzei Shabbos is a good time. Right? But don't just take something clearly. Oh, you know what? I read one time. I'll tell you something I read one time. The author of Kelm said he doesn't understand how people don't learn Musar Motzei Shabbos, because then Shabbos is going back to Gehenna. And, you know, it's such a time then, and you're not learning Musar then. Right? Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I heard that in the Shmooze. So I'll go do it on Motzei Shabbos. Mostly, that was the author of Kelm. Right? Yad Kem also was a huge, it was a Malach Hashem Tzvachas. He slept 2 hours a day, he didn't move his eyes, right? So, because he did not move his eyes. He didn't move his eyes. You understand such a person? Right? So you can't just read something out there, Kelm said, and therefore I'll do it like that. He said to learn Musar Motzei Shabbos, it's a good time to do Chashbon Nefesh, but then, instead of a person that didn't move his eyes, or Ruchem didn't move his body, never went like this. He only walked straight. But he moved his eyes. The Alter Kelm was focused all the time. You understand? He was focused all the time, 8 hours a day. He was a sick person. He used to learn 8 hours in a row, and then he was dead, and then another 8 hours, and he had kept the gross, kept cheshbon. He was a Malach Hashem. So you can't just take, I read in a book, this is a good time to do it. Everything is suggestions. When you work with what works. Avodah Hashem is a very personal thing. Okay, so so I'm happy I made that as a slide, because I think it's really ma'od essential. Okay, now we get to the actual Chavosai. Okay, we start. Actual cheshbon, that's what it's in green. We start with the good. Okay, some people say only to do the good. An email went around recently from Rabbi Orlov said only do the good. That seems a little limiting to me. But let me start with the good, Rabbos. That's a chiddush. What am I going to do in my cheshbon nefesh? Oh, let's think about all the bad things I did today. Let's bring further proofs to our low self-image. I'm so bad, I'm so weak, I'm so terrible. No, no, no. Okay, what did I do right in my avodah? Go through your principles and evaluate against them. What are my principles? I'm working on the five things, let's say, my five things. Ben al-Khaver, Ben al-Makim, Ben al-Asol, Klai Yisrael, and Torah. Those are the five central points I have to have every day. How do I do in each of these things? Gevaldig. We'll explain that more. We're going to skip over the middle one for a second. And take pleasure in the good. Plus, I want to tell you an unbelievable yisod. Listen to this yisod. It was worth coming for this. Shamati Yitzeh from my Rabbi Rav Leichter, and I've said it over many, many times. Yesh lo mana, wrote to Masayim. What's the right attitude in Ruchnius? So there are those that say, kol zeinu shavali, right? A great Rosh Hashiva said, you know what? What did Haman say? All the covet, all everything. But Mordechai is not bowing for me. Kol zeinu shavali. It's all worth nothing to me. So my Kabbalah is that's not the way to go, right? That's not a good way to go. For us, for sure, it's not a good way. You know, we should go, Yei Shlom Anarotzim Asayim. You finish the Rambam Kavaldi. Enjoy it, and then you want to do more. When you feel, who has ever quoted the idea? When you quote something you know, there's nobody doesn't feel great, right? I know something, now you want to know more. That's good. That is a very, very healthy feeling. The feeling of pleasure in the good things you do make you want to do more. It's a natural thing. And I'm not saying an intellectual chiddush. I'm talking regish now. You understand? Yei shlomana. You guys know that expression? In financial things. Yei shlomana rotzim asayim. Well, what keeps this guy going? You know, one of the guy at $800 million, he says, you know, you look at these young guys, they got a billion and a half, and you wonder where you went wrong. Yeah? Yei shlomana, because he wants more and more and more. $800 million, I'm not a successful person. This guy's got a billion. Mr. IKEA has 33 billion. Eivot Fishalti. That's stupid. But that's because Yesh Lomana Rotzim Asayim. But it works like that in Ruchnius also. That's what Rabbi Ruchum said. Yesh Lomana Rotzim Asayim. When you have, you want more. So it's so gewalding in Cheshvan to Chav. I did good things today. I didn't know I had that cough. I did this well. I sat in Seder well. Whatever your evaluation is. But enjoy that. Now, here's questions. How did you do it? Now, once you want to go into more, you can go into these questions if they help you. How did you do it? How can you do it again? How can you get even better at what you're good at? Right? How can you even get better at Seder? I enjoy Seder. I enjoy coming on time. How can you even get better at it? Okay? Now, both say we're going to go forward and then go back. Now, here's some advanced questions, right? How can these things help other parts of my avoda? You know, this is already like, if you know how to work with things like this, good, if not, not. But here I did good things. How can I connect between this and other things in my avoda? Were you always good at these things? What was your motivation in doing these good things? Where did you learn to do the good things, and what else could you apply from that source? Yeah, those are like deeper level questions. Okay. Now, let's go back for a second. Okay, so that's the good.
Back.
Okay, well, back here we are. Now, I want to point out this. Point out, be on the lookout for notable things. I don't want to mess with this thing. Okay, anyway, you see it, right here. be on the lookout for notable things. What does that mean for both sides? You can be working, a lot of people make this mistake, right? What are we saying? What am I arguing? I'm arguing you have to make frameworks, you have to work within a certain boundary, otherwise like too much, right? That's the, whether it's the five, the three, the five, the six. Now, but it doesn't mean you have to notice other things, right? I'm working on Seder. So I had a wonderful day in Seder. What? I came on time to this. I didn't get up from my seat. I came down to lunch on time. I was at Mincha on time. I came to Korvalis on time. I went to next Seder on time. You know, and I was pushing the whole time. And that's Gavaldi. It was a great day, right? The only problem was you noticed, you know, so you didn't stop and notice the fact that you totally blew up your Harusa in a way which is totally inappropriate. You understand? But you can't limit. Don't be so limited by all the ideas we're saying that you don't notice other notable things. Be on the lookout for notable things. And there's really just like a different point. I should have put it maybe on the bottom. You know? Be on the lookout for notable things. Hey, that was surprising. I got to think about that. Maybe I have to change my principle. Maybe I have to work on that more. You know? You think it's an obvious thing? We're both saying. A friend of mine, Matis Rosenblum. So he said to me one time that so this guy was like talking about Shalom Bayis or something like that. Maybe I should do more. Maybe I should buy my wife presents more. This time, you know, so this Rebbe said to him, you know, maybe you should stop talking so nastily to her. You know, you could be like totally in the dark. People are, you know, blind spots are both. So we all have blind spots. Terrible blind spots. It's a good thing to ask your friends sometimes. What are your blind spots? But I'm saying the way you can find out your blind spots is by noting yourself and be on the notice for that. We're going to talk more about that in a second. We're getting there. Okay, we did that. Advanced questions. They're not so good. We could have said bad. Again, Rabbi Osai. One second. I'm going. Here we go. They're not so good, okay? Or bad, Rabbi Osai, right? I thought you speak. They're not so good. Against frameworks. Be open. Be open with yourself, Rabbi Osai. Enjoy knowing yourself. Now, this is a little bit of a chiddush. Not my chiddush. This is a life is chiddush. Okay? This is where I got this from, Rabbi Osai. Listen to this. This is a really important thing. We live in a door of low self-image, right? That's no chiddush. We cower at self-knowledge. We cower at facing ourselves. We cower at thinking about who we are. You understand? And that holds us back from so much, right? So the remedy, I believe, is what I really saw, you know, for the years that Baruch Hashem was in Vadim together with life, there was one of our oldest Tommy Dimufakim, is that he's like so open about himself. Anybody who knows him, you know, he's like a really open guy. I remember he was, you know, he's like a chashev rav, has hundreds of talmidim all over the world, Merel Elef, and here, and Mashkiach, you know, thousands, he has thousands of, really thousands of talmidim, maybe tens of thousands of talmidim. He wrote a book that had 1,000 copies sold in 2 weeks. I mean, could be 10,000 talmidim. He's really chashev, he's a frock, the whole thing, he's always talmid muvik, he wants Kabbalah, this, that, and he's got all the credentials, you know. So at his son's wedding, he put his son-in-law on his shoulders. Trying to imagine my father-in-law putting me on his shoulder. So besides the difficulty to his back, like, my father-in-law would never do that, you know? So just, like, not the thing he would do. It's like, not with someone, you know? That's sort of free personality. You understand? You get it? He's like that. You know, we could go on and on. But the reason I'm saying that is for a dogma to us of when you want to know yourself, you have to be a little bit objective and realize it's, like, interesting to learn things about yourself. You have to look at yourself a little bit like a specimen. You know what I mean? So don't take everything so personal. So what? So you made a mistake in shir. So what? So what? So I didn't like what you said. So what? What's the big deal? Why are we so hung up? You understand? It's only because of baggage in us that we're so hung up about ourselves. So you found something new. So I'll give you dogma, right? Rav Leichter was coming to my house for Shabbos. So my wife was like sweating. You know, he's going to walk in. And here's this person, like this, you know, this Superman-like perception into people. And he's going to see all the mistakes we're making in the Chabanim, you know. And, you know, we're sweating. I'm nervous. My wife's nervous. Everybody. So my wife called a friend. It was Mr. Lubavitch. It's like, listen, you know, Tina, it's good. Like, so he'll know. You're like a Rav who knows it. We'll know more about what your family's really like, you know. What's the big deal? So Rav Leichter will think I'm making a lot of stupid mistakes in Chinuch HaBanim. I am or I'm not. His opinion changes anything? So he knows. Why are you afraid that I should know something about you? It's good for you ultimately. If I know something about you, it's bad for you. Well, I'm not gonna publish an RDS Vaden. You know, it's good for you if I know bad things. It's good for you. It's in your interest. Be open, right? So both, this is a really important point. What I'm trying to say is, this is a big chacham. I'm trying to connect, get past our low self-images and our being hung up and get us to fix ourselves. And I think maybe the way to do that, this is a deep point, is if we learn to take pleasure in it. I can take pleasure in my self-knowledge. It's interesting. Oh, I'm such a Russia. I didn't realize I was such a Russia. Surprising. I have a good side I didn't know about. You understand? You guys, you resonate? Is this point resonating by you? So therefore, we can be open and enjoy knowing yourself. That's a huge point. This is not every presentation on Cheshvan Nefesh would know that, but this is a very, very basic, huge point of Avodas Hashem. Okay? Now, here's a chiddush I had. I thought this is really cool. You can think about it. This is a chiddush I had as I was making the presentation. Decide to apologize to man and God. If you do a Cheshvan, this goes back to our personal integrity. See, our personal integrity should say that if I realize I did something wrong, so then, if I found out about it and didn't apologize for it, if it was something like that, you know what I mean? If you did something really wrong to someone, if you don't apologize for it, maybe it's better for you not to know. Because now you know really you should apologize, and you're not apologizing, so you're getting like, you know, it's like a lot of goals. I read an unbelievable thing recently. Like, goals destroy a lot of people. It's very bad to make goals if you're not going to keep them. So that's, think about it. What is it? When I make a goal and I don't keep it, what message do I send to myself? I can't keep goals. So it's good I made the goal, bad I made the goal. Well, pashut, right? So the same thing. So it could be, once we're doing a cheshbon, you know, we're, say to the Rosh Hashanah, I made a mistake today, I'm sorry, do a little vidui at the end of the thing, you know? Sorry, go to someone, apologize. But decide then, decide at night, when you're doing the cheshbon nefesh, I realize I wronged this person, I owe an apology, do an apology. And I want to tell you, in Chinuch HaBanim, and this is a big yisod by me, say sorry to your kids sometimes, you know? We have these most democratic houses I've ever seen in the world, right? We're not autocratic houses. Maybe we should be. Good old Taimanin smacks the kid comes over, gives him a kiss on the hand. That's the way to run the house, we both said. But we don't. We're all in this gushy American, lovey-dovey, let's have family meetings, yeah? But when it comes to apologizing, suddenly we're autocrats. No, that's where you should be non-autocratic. You made a mistake with your kids, apologize. It's makarev. It's an unbelievable cure when you apologize to people when you do something wrong, when you're in the... Okay? So we both said, and again, some questions. Why did I fail? You need to think a little bit. Right? Just noticing and stopping is good, and it's natural, but you can do better. Why did I fail? What went wrong to me? How can I make a small improvement tomorrow? What improvement can I make? What can I learn about myself from this? Right? Now, here's a big one. What do I have to avoid tomorrow knowing today's mistakes? Adam Arishan, Rabbi Moshe, after all of his tshuva, we finish about 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, Adam Arishan, after all of his tshuva, he did, how long did the Medrash say Adam Arishan did tshuva for? You know how? That's not so long. I think 120 years? It says 120 years. Yeah? It's a little bit long time. Longer than us till Yom Kippur, we'll say. So the Aleph counsel says, why don't you go back to, let him go back to Gan Eden? 120 years of tshuva? To go back to Gan Eden. You know what he said? No. The Mahalach of Gan Eden wasn't for him anymore. It wasn't for him anymore. He was Nechshol, and Gan Eden, he couldn't get it right there. You know what I mean? A lot of times, in the Sisei Chaim, you could look up this piece, it's an awesome piece. A lot of times our tshuva will fail for one reason, because we put ourselves after the tshuva back in the same situation, right? I'll probably be matznech on my computer this time. Isn't that a stupid way to think, Rav Moshe? Maybe the only thing you should do is make kedarim. It says that in Talmud Dvorah. What's the hay? Rav Moshe, Olam Haz is Domet to the hay. You fall out this way and you come back that way. Why not go back this way? It's a Gemara. Yet, no, you can't go back that way. You have to go through the small, the thin, the narrow level of the hay. Yeah, everybody, you ever heard that Gemara before? You fall out this way, there's a hay. But you go back that way. Why? Because it doesn't work. Los Daimels, it doesn't work. Gemara Menachos, right? Talmud Dvorah says that's a pshat because a Baal Tshuva needs Gedarim. You need Gedarim. You need fences around yourself. Who doesn't know you that today? There's no chance. What could a Nair do in Abichota? So if we don't make that decision on ourselves to make Gedarim on ourselves, maybe it's not worth it to do a Cheshbon Nefesh. Because again, we're just going to get to that. Just to be self-defeating is not worth it. We'll say throw it all out. If Cheshbon Nefesh is going to make us feel self-defeating and it's too much for us, it's not worth it, as we'll talk about at the end. You hear what I'm saying? So therefore, I have to avoid things tomorrow knowing today's mistakes. You get it? It's a simple thing, but it's a Yisod Atzum in all of Avodas Hashem, and a Yisod Atzum in Tshuva. Look it up in Sisei Chaim. It's a beautiful, I told you the Iker of it. Tshuva doesn't work. How come my Tshuva didn't work? Because you put yourself back in the same situation you were Chotin. Because I want to be carrying the Rambam, but Tshuva Mula, don't be a dumbbell. Of course you'd be held in the same situation. Why shouldn't you be? Because what? Why not? Ella what? A Baal Tshuva says to him, I mean the real Baal Tshuva, right? That Tshuva in the Chazals, right? Means, I say to myself, here's a situation, I faced Ra, I did something wrong, I'm going to avoid the situation next time. I'm not going to sit there. I'll sit somewhere else. I'm not going to go that way. I'll go another way. I'll put a filter. I'll have a web cover. I'll break the stupid thing, get a kosher phone, it's not so bad. 25 shekels now. What's wrong? So bad? The world's going to change? Okay. He's so good though. Okay, Rabbi, so we're getting on. So that's not so good. Okay, here's another. This is one of my chidushim, Rabbi. Say, look for easy fixes. The opposite. What everybody say, don't look, go for the easy thing. I say, go for the easy things, Rabbi. Listen to this. Also, there are things we do incorrectly for no deep reason. We're just being stupid, lazy, or both. W, right? They're easy to fix. It's gewaldig. So as when we hear about a new halacha we didn't know about before. I didn't know that was halacha. So change right then. You hear Rabbi say, there are a lot of easy fixes in our life. And Cheshbon Nefesh can connect you to those things. I go over my day. I saw I made a mistake. Right? A lot of things are like the thing. It's the opposite of what we just spoke about. There are inherent perennial issues that we all have and yetzer haras that we all have. And the only hope for us in humanity is to make gedarim on them. Shmirot on them. There are other things which are very easy to fix. You hear? I just had a few more examples in my head. I didn't realize. Like I'll give you an example. One time I was speaking, I was influenced by a certain rabbi who had, bad behaviors, right? So, and I wasn't, whatever it was, I don't want to go into the, it wasn't, terrible to stop, but he would speak in a certain, crass way. So I was, close with him. So I would speak in a crass way. And someone said to me, stop speaking in such a crass way. And I said, I stopped. Because it wasn't really what I was like. I wasn't a crass person. I have other chesaronos, you guys could all tell me. But, that wasn't me. So I just needed someone to point out to me. And then I got rid of it right away. You get a lot of things, it's just easy to get rid of. You just got to notice it about yourself. So look for those things. Because you go, why not? You stop yourself. It's like, you come like dominating all the time. Why? Don't do that. Oh, no, I can't. I have to do that as a lawyer. So a lot of things, if we would just notice about ourselves, we could fix them right away. So Cheshbon Nefesh is the time when we can notice those things. So look for those, because they're really, when we talk about the amazing investment of Cheshbon Nefesh, this is really investment, okay? Okay. Yeah. Connect the dots. Okay, this is another bit of a chiddush for me, right? So often every cheshbon is like the first. You could start the next cheshbon, Rebosa, by connecting to your last one. You understand what I'm saying? The ideas that I spoke about, I thought, let's say it was last week. So theoretically, I could just cheshbon the next week. But it makes more sense that I have some connection, right? I thought this would work. Did it work? Did it not work? How could I connect to what I did last week? Can I build further? Do I have to start all over again? Am I seeing patterns in my behavior? right? So in the cheshbon is a time where I can connect the dots and say, connect the dots in my life and see that there's what to work with. A few more ideas. Cheshbon all day for both sides. What does this mean, cheshbon all day? Watch yourself the door during the day in order to know what to think about during your cheshbon, right? Theoretically, our life can be more of a united, synergistic whole, right? If we can get into cheshbon and enjoy it, so then theoretically, things we do during the day, we can note, right? And that's one idea of it. The other one is cheshbon in real time. What does that mean? Theoretically, you don't have to wait till tonight or the next week or next month to cheshbon. You could do like a quick, I did that. It's not a good thing to do. I'm going to stop doing that, right? Which is really related to that. Learn to come clean quickly. Just like a thinking rabosa, right? A lot of like, I know what I want to do in this year. I don't want to teach guys to like, if you had something bad, like get rid of it and go think further. You understand? You have to know when you have a, sometimes we have a machshava which is worth holding on to because it's a kernel of truth, and something we're just making a mistake. So let's just like get rid of it. You understand? So to ourselves. Oh, I'm speaking in a crass way. Just stop that. Just stop. Don't do that anymore. Right? I'm not holding on to it. I'm not involved in that. You can do a quick cheshbon. So therefore, as much as we cheshbon at the end of our day, that's one of my chidushim, that we can cheshbon all day. Right? And keep some level of awareness on ourselves the whole day. Okay? And next is cheshbon your cheshbon, or both sides. What does it mean to cheshbon your cheshbon? Cool, huh? You, not infrequently, you should update your principles. Right? Remember, what are we doing? Really, I'm cheshboning against an evaluation, right? But I can't just decide by personal voters or the five things or machshava dibur maisa. Maybe I can refine it and make it a little higher, right? Like we said, maybe 600. Our goal theoretically would be, we'll say, what's a tzaddik's cheshbon nefesh look like? He probably cheshbons against all 613 misses, right? How'd I do in the whole thing? You know what I mean? So they're updating. So we're starting from a position, we need like a general framework, like I'm saying, right? But as we grow, that framework could branch out, you know, be and build and change, etc. So therefore, you have to add, subtract, and refine. Don't be afraid to grow. So that's obviously, don't get stuck in a cheshbon. I think this is the last one, or bosai. We go on our last thing is
next.
Bosai, super important. If you remember nothing else in this whole class, don't get bogged down. Bosai, what does it mean to get bogged down? One can get like, you know, sometimes you see these guys, they got like their little notebooks and they're like all nervous all the time and concerned and, you know, grumpy. Not the type of guy you want to hang around with, right? Also, it's very important to keep on a positive way. This is, I wouldn't say this is exactly my chiddush. My understanding is that all yeshivas are built like this. I'm not getting bogged down. Meaning, what is it? We believe, like I spoke about in Rosh Hashanah night, we believe in the greatness of man. And we believe that yeshivas are a place where people come as great as they could be. Right? And of course, by doing cheshbon nefesh, that's like a key essential point to greatness. But your general Seder Hayom makes you great also. Right? Like Rav Volbe used to say, if you learn well, daven well, and learn musar, you're going to grow. You understand? So you don't want your cheshbon nefesh to like bog you down and make you like this heavy person. You understand what I'm saying? So with all the things I'm saying, you have to keep in mind this aspect. It sounds like, okay, so I'm spending 10 minutes like this. I'm cheshbonning all day. I'm cheshbonning my cheshbon. So I'm just like this computer program is always checking myself. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? That's not good. You understand? You have to be fest. That's the Yiddish word fest. A festa guy, you know? Geschmack. Learning is a geschmacka thing. Learning is an uplifting thing. Learning is a moving thing. You understand? We believe in that. This is my understanding. That we... You know, Hudner used to talk about a term called like gaiva de kedusha. That's a way of looking at it. And I'm saying there's a certain not getting bogged downness, which is part of the fabric of how yeshivas grow. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we could all think about theoretically, well, maybe I shouldn't have a chavrusa because I might say lashon hara with him, right? So I don't know exactly the answer. You understand? I don't know exactly the answer, right? But the answer is probably around there because you just grow and become a hermit and do nothing with yourself, right? So you didn't come to this world, we could all lock ourselves in a room and not do any averus, right? So why not do that? So talk to me, maybe it's an idea. I don't really know the answer fully, but my understanding is no, because the Rosh Hashanah wants us to want something from us, wants us to develop, wants us to grow. And so obviously you have to know the balance. Gilu Barada, I'm not coming to Mat or anything, and that's really both like, a yeshiva bacher should eat like a lumberjack. You know, Rav Huttner said that a yeshiva bacher should eat like a lumberjack. Like, what does that mean? It's just one proof to the idea is that you know, a yeshiva bacher's job is not to be into precious. Why not? That's a very good thing. Only I eat this much, eat that much, you know. You should eat well so you can learn well. You understand? It's more important, you know, you're learning one day is shove it to a tainus. That's the Steigler writes. Don't take tainus. The Steigler writes very strongly. Don't take tainus. Yeah, don't take a tainus because you're not going to, it's a faster meeting, because you're not going to learn as well. You understand? So, well, who says? Because we want you to grow. We want you to build. We want you to, that's the way I understand Masaras Yeshivas is built in a very general way. Obviously, you have to know the balance always, right? Doesn't mean Lashon Hara is not mutter in any situation. No, there is ever mutter. God forbid, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just talking about in terms of being, you understand what I mean by being a weighed down person? There are people who get weighed down by things like cheshbon nefesh and mutter and things like that. They become heavy, and you don't see them as the people who are accomplishing, who are building and developing. And yeshivas are built on the fact that they're makam shem bay shem egadlem b'tor, bay shem egadlem b'tfila, the place of growth. So therefore, and that's why the yeshiva is like a lumberjack. So therefore, the counter to our cheshbon and nefesh, which all the things we spoke about, we can do without getting bogged down. You understand? It's a part of my life that I visit, that I deal with. I'll show you one like unbelievable line like that. Rav Nosson Vachlogel said, if we had Yom Kippur every day with all of its vidoy, we'd be mushchasim. It would destroy us. Right? Maybe the Kiddush Yom Kippur we would want every day, but the idea of doing Al Kheir all the time, vidoys all the time, would destroy you. You'd be a mushchas. That's an exact lesson of Mashkeh related. That's the same idea. What do you mean? It's a great thing to be doing. Yeah, but that's not, you'd be like just sitting and stewing in your bed all the time. Or sitting and stewing. We're building. You got it? Eat well, learn well, dive well. But, okay, Rabbi, finally, that's the end. Okay? I wish everybody, hope any questions, I'm happy to deal with now.
I just keep you up sometimes so someone could see it.
They want?